Hey, Mandarin family. Thanks for stopping by and seeing what God has been up to with us. We can't believe that we are in the fall swing of things here. But with this season comes many exciting things our church family is celebrating and going through. First of all, we invite you and anyone else listening to join us in a 24 days of prayer. We are using scripture and the book Gentle and Lowly as our guide for these days of prayer, discussion, and seeing what God wants to do in our lives. All of the information you need is found at our website, mandarinbaptist.org. Another important thing we want you to be aware of is our Wednesday nights have started back. We know life can be busy and schedules get full, but we would absolutely love for you, your family, and friends to join us starting at 6:30. We have something for every age, from our kids ministry, student ministry, all the way up to our adults and seniors. You should definitely come check it out. As we dive into scripture and the sermon this week, we are following along in our 24 days of prayer with a series called Gentle and Lowly. In the four gospel accounts, there is only one place that Jesus tells about his own heart. We read and learn of his birth, ministry, travels, disciples, his miracles, and his habits. Yet there is one passage of scripture where Jesus shares specifically about his heart, about who he is. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is an important truth for his followers. For who Jesus is who we are to become. And he reveals his heart as gentle, humble, lowly. According to Jesus, this will lighten our life and clarify our path. He is gentle and lowly.
I'm just going to dive in. Hebrews 7:25 is this high priestly passage about the majesty of who Jesus is. And it is talking right now about what's happening on our behalf in this very moment. We're walking through gentle and lowly, and I believe this is day 14 in the chapters, and we've been in the last week just recognizing that the Lord is our advocate, that we'll dive into this truth in a few minutes more deeply, but that he has justified us, or that's really a legal term in scripture to mean that he has once and forever settled the debt of our sin and is inviting us to just come to him and be free in him. And he is also, even as he has done that once and forever, is at the same time advocating that we would understand that with the Father. And so we've been thinking about this throughout this week. And not only is that happening, but I just read in Romans 8 that he is interceding for us so that we'll understand through the power of the Spirit of God, the wonder of being justified as a child of God, forever and eternally seated with God, and yet sorting this out on this earth. Glory to God. Like, welcome to church. I mean, it's going on in heaven on our behalf. It is around the throne crying out that we will understand and recognize this. I grabbed the sentence out of Gentle and Lowly, and this is just beautiful. It says, the intercession of Christ is his heart connecting our heart to the Father's heart. And so the Lord is like literally interceding for us right now and just taking our heart and saying, Dad, Abba, I want your heart to really just invade their heart, and I really want to deepen who they are. And so he's just loving us right now and drawing us to himself, advocating on our behalf and interceding that we will get this. And I really love the definition in the book. I don't know if you caught this through the week, where it says, truly, we are once and forever justified. We are eternally secure if you have received Jesus as Redeemer, Rescuer, Savior, King, and one and only. So you're good right now, but he is interceding so that we would hit the refresh button over and over on the reality of who and whose we are in Jesus. And so he's just reminding us, and he is just crying out to the Father, saying, I know we're going to stumble in and think the political climate is really everything right now. Or we're going to stumble in and our latest challenge is everything right now. And he's just kind of going, Lord, Father, Abba, Daddy, refresh for them who and whose they are and what that means for us as his children. So, yes, praise the Lord for his intercession that is connecting our hearts to the Father's hearts. And so I have three thoughts out of Hebrews 7:25, which really there's a lot of scripture that I will read this morning. But I want to begin with Hebrews 7:25 as kind of the anchor for the room. It is the truth of Jesus as high priest over us. And it's because of that in verse 7:25, it says, he is able to save completely. So if you've been reading the book, the translation, this Greek word is really a beautiful Greek word. He is able to save to the uttermost, to the ends of everything. So the Lord on our behalf is rescue and redeeming and saving everything. And it's to those who come to God through him. And this is why he lives. And so it says this, since he always lives to intercede on our behalf. So just let that anchor you as we walk through the joy of our salvation for the next bit. And the wonder of who Jesus is. And so I would just start here that personally I have been weighed and I have been measured and unfortunately have been found wanting. And so the heart of Jesus is a limit, maybe more importantly than just his heart. What makes up Jesus is just his limitless nature, who he is. What he is about, he's moving in relentless fashion toward us. And as for me, on the other hand, it's really limiting. I have been weighed, I have been measured, and I have been found wanting. And so I'm gonna have some stats on the screen for you. And so my mom and dad were out this week, and so I was pretty clear on the date I was born, which was the 24th of July. In 1966, which is a couple of years ago now. And so, but I wasn't clear on all the stats. And so I called them, they were in the car. And of course, my mom knew every detail. And so she gives me the dates, the times, the measurements, all of this fun reality. And then says a little bit later, Dad starts chiming in. I'm like, you can just hush. Mom knows. Yes. Mom knows everything. And so she finished telling me some of the stats I'll share with you in a moment, which you can already read, and says, but I'll check it when I get home. I said, no need, Mom. She did, called me and said it was right. And so when I was born, I was 7 pounds, 2 ounces, 21 inches in height. And if you know me at all, it's not surprising that things kicked in the middle of the night, and at 6:07 in the morning, I was like, let's get this day started. We've got things to do, places to go, and people to see. Let's get this day going. Those are my stats. And so I thought you also might appreciate this image. So cute, right? Wow. So the next part, there will be one person. I'm not sure, Dad, if you're going to follow in this. You can leave that image up if you want. I don't know if it went away. Yeah, so there will be, well, you'd have to just kind of see this so you can recognize, but one person in this room will disagree with everything I'm about to say in the next 45 seconds. Fundamentally, that would be my mom. Dad's probably over there going, do you not know him? Like, come on, you've got to at least amen this. Before I even formed, and like in the earliest moments of my life, before I ever formed my first rebellious thought or predicated the actions that would drive me away from the Lord, I had already been weighed and measured and found wanting. And this was found, and my mom's going, no, you were perfect. So the very fact of this reality for me is that I and you, all of us, have been measured and we are limited. And this is why the gospel is so beautiful for us, because we are rescued by and we're worshiping one who has not and has no limits. and is beautiful and is glorious. Jesus is infinite. He is boundless in kindness. He defies measurement. He is limitless in the nature that God has given, in his wonder, in his knowledge, in his grace, in his goodness, in his kindness. We, as a limited and measured people, are being welcomed into the kingdom of Christ by a limitless and redemptive and glorious Savior. Welcome to the kingdom. And right now, according to Hebrews 7 and multiple other passages in the scripture, is advocating that we would understand, for all of us who has recognized our depravity and received his rescue and been seated on solid ground, for that, if that is our place, he is advocating that we remember that and then interceding that that is refreshed in our soul. So again, welcome to worship. Oh, how great a salvation. If you blew by that song, would you just conjure it back in your heart right now and ignore me for the rest, just simply saying to the Lord, how great is our God? How great is my salvation? Father, I am measured, and yet I am lifted out and planted on a rock. Garrett, when you said, can you imagine the darkness prior to Jesus? I had my eyes closed, and I thought, I am unmoored. I am blown into the winds. I am lost. I have no clue, and I am so thankful for his rescue. I was literally going like, Lord, I don't have anything anchoring me apart from you. And even as one who is rescued and I walk away, I'm prodigal, I am desirous of that movement back to the limitless nature of God in Christ. Just kind of interceding. And for me now, as a follower of Jesus, one who confesses the lordship of Christ, who is his child, being reminded of that on a moment-by-moment basis as I at times unmoor myself from him, and yet he never does that for me. So come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, you'll find rest for your soul if you'll find truth in this biblical reality. The psalmist writes this in Psalm 145, which is a heart verse for this church. The Lord is great and is highly praised. His greatness is immeasurable. Solomon wrote it this way when he says, the heavens, like the highest heavens, they can't contain him. You're worshiping a beautiful and glorious Savior. From our moment of birth, we are limited, and yet we're rescued from ourselves. We're purposed in our steps. We're seated in the heavenlies. What a glorious and great salvation. Christ's intercession for us is just this beautiful reality of how, I don't even know the right word, how limitless, that's not even justice, how glorious his rescue is on our behalf. How beautiful it is on our behalf. And so I want to read again Hebrews 7:25 in light of this commentary. He is able to save completely, to the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives, even in this moment, to intercede for us, that we would understand how great he is, how great his salvation is. These are spiritual things for spiritual people. Not understood unless we really came to the Lord and agreed in prayer, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear, oh Father. I want to understand that. That Greek word that's to the uttermost, it is a great word. If you were reading with us this week, you're already all over this. But when he says, I've loved you completely, it literally translates in this way. It's a comprehensive nature. It's a completeness. It's an exhaustive wholeness of his pursuit of us. Glory to God. It is more. If we could just describe the Lord and all of the character qualities, it's how we view it, and it's more. It's more. You are so good, Lord. These are spiritual things. And so the intercession of Christ going on right now on your behalf is his heart connecting our heart to the Father's heart. Welcome to worship. And his mercy is more. That's my second thought. My first, you've been weighed, you've been measured, you've been found wanting. Thank you, Redeemer. Yes. So I feel like I just ran across the finish line and none of you cheered. Like, praise you, Lord, because his mercy is more. It is beautiful. We cannot fathom the divine kindness already resting on those of us in this room who are in Christ. It's too much for us. And yet, I want to give it a shot. I just want to pursue him with you. We tend, to be on really good terms with ourselves. This is from the inception in the garden when they're just kind of looking around and going, we've just perpetuated sin. Our eyes are open to all of this. Lord, will you recenter us around you? And so their great and grand idea was this. Let's be kind of really good with our own terms. And our terms will be this. Here's an idea. Let's hide from the Father. And you should put on some clothes. And we should hide our transparency, hide our convictions, hide our failures, because he'll never see it. And this is the beauty of the advocacy of Christ, because while I'm on this great salvation in the first thought, the next is for those of us who have been rescued by Christ and just seated with him forever. And he is just longing for us to come and to say, Lord, I don't long to hide from the lover of my soul. I don't long to come into a moment and try to say to you, I don't want you to see this portion of me. And I shared this with our online faith family, which, hello family, and with our early service and now with you, that maybe the greatest default we have is hiding and not understanding what advocacy of the Father and intercession of the Father and the joy and the wonder of the Father's heart means to us. Matt, I actually think this was you on Wednesday night. He mentioned at the welcome time that we have been having great conversations on Wednesday. It's just table talk. What's God teaching you? And I think there was a certain moment in time when we were talking about this advocate that is on our behalf, this intercessor that loves us, the one who knows all of our flaws and says, would you please come to me and would you bring all of that to me? And there was a certain moment that you said some profound words that have settled in my soul. I want to confess and I want to be vulnerable to a God like that, to a God who is interceding, to a God who loves me with the ferocity, to a God who is passionate for our soul, to a God who welcomes me. In fact, more importantly, to a God who is running toward me when I am even running away from him. To a God that is beautiful and glorious and forgiving and advocating. We respond this way. We respond in this way, meaning we hide and we circle our wagons when we don't comprehend his heart. Romans 5:20 reads in this way, where sin increased, listen, this is so beautiful. Where sin increased in Romans 5:20, grace abounded even more. In other words, the things that we think we are hiding from the Lord right now. So if you're in this room and you're a follower of Jesus and you're really done a good job throughout this day to come in and hide the things that he actually really knows about. First of all, he knew you before the foundation of the earth and formed you and knows every one of your ways and is really aware of your day. So could you just possibly, by the grace of God, know the heart of God and be a little vulnerable before God so that he can heal you as only he can? That's the invitation. Is not like, hey, how you doing? Great. I'm at church and I'm good. Amen. That too. But I'm even better, Lord, because I'm vulnerable for you. And I'm given this gospel named this Jesus movement. Nothing can cause him to abandon us. This is the beauty of our Savior, and this is where I would just want us to rest for a moment. He runs toward our sin and brokenness. I know Solomon is really wise. He's one of the most, I've read several portions of his writings through Scripture this week, and he is one of the most wise and practically stupid men that you'll meet on this planet. And so Solomon said in this incredible moment, like, we have eternity settled in our hearts. We get glimpses of God's heart at times. And I kind of saw the heart of Jesus in this last week. It's been 20 years since 9/11. So I don't know about you, but it was very visceral for me. I was sitting in a room with 70 women who were doing Bible study on the morning of September 11th, 2001, and I was doing ministry in a military town where literally 80 to 90% of the people are either military or civil servants. And so I had full awareness that what we were hearing and seeing through that morning was going to truly shift every person's life. And it really did. In fact, I had an incredible conversation after the first service about what happened. And there were kingdom advances that happened as I just can't get into all the stories because we'll stay here too long. But as our guys who loved Jesus started Bible studies and online communities in the early 2000s in Afghanistan and Iraq, just gathering around and great turmoil and great suffering around the wonder and the glory of God. Oh, that we could capture that again 20 years later. In the middle of turbulence and pain and sorrow, we could gather as followers of Jesus and say, can we centralize our hearts in the middle of his own? But one thing that kept popping up in every documentary I watched this week was just this picture of Jesus and us. And it's just found powerfully. One of them said, we were on the 40th floor of building 2, and we were coming down, and it was at the 39th floor on the way to the 40th. And she has a picture of this firefighter. And she says, when they ran past us, we finally realized the direction that we should be going. And one of the things that I picture Jesus is, I have this image on the screen right now, I picture Jesus as I don't know that we see him this way, but when everyone is running away, or everyone, if you will, is hiding, or everyone is trying to move about, Jesus is the one running toward it. Where sin is great, grace abounds even more. Jesus is the one that is defying all odds and saying, I'm running toward this. I know this antithetical to everything you're about, but I want to meet you where you are, and I long to be about rescue, and I long to meet you not just as a new believer, but I long to meet you in your 37th year and 13th day of following me and to rescue you again by my great and glorious gospel. The next picture is really beautiful because he says, look, I may have run in, but I am not leaving. I will wade through the mess of your life. I will lift barriers and wounds and heart hurts if you and I can be vulnerable together and if I can do the work that only I can do. And there's times where you're just watching. I was watching this past week and it was like, this is eternity. This is Jesus. Thank you, God, for first responders. And they showed for me a picture of our grace and kindness, our Lord who does what most others don't, which runs toward us when we're wanting to run away. Isn't this the beautiful picture of our Savior? My friend John Johnson wrote me this week to meet a need in Jacksonville. He's a minister now in Inverness, and he used to sing a song of When God Ran. It's built out of Luke 15, and Jesus' just love for the prodigal. And it's when the 99 are okay. Here's what he does. He runs after the one. And I just love this image of the Lord. If I could draw you into this image of the Lord, this is his picture when you're prodigal, when you're wanting to hide, when you're standing going, I wonder if I'm okay, and I wonder if he would receive me. This is your Father. This is the Lord who sees you, and when you turn and begin to come to him, is already running down the path. His mercy is, I think you could finish it for me, more. His mercy is beautiful. And he would just look over at the rest of the crew and say, there she comes. Kill the fatted calf. There he comes. I've been waiting. Come to me. Oh, you were weary and burdened, who were so worn out with holding things together. And meet the one who holds all things together. And finally, not only is his mercy more, and is it beautiful, but he fights for our heart. That's really where we've been all week. I don't have a lot to add except to just read to you a couple of passages of scripture. We have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's 1 John 2:1. One who is just speaking to the Father right now. And I know this is unfathomable, but he is speaking, advocating for you in this moment before the Father. How? I have no idea. I just revel in it. I'm just grateful. We have been measured and we have been found lacking. Our sins are great. His mercy more. Lord, hit the refresh button in our souls. John Bunyan had a quote this week, and I would kind of move downhill with this quote. Christ gave for us the price of blood. But that is not all. Christ as captain has conquered death and the grave for us. Little amen moment, but that is not all. Christ as priest intercedes for us in heaven. But that's not all. Since we are rescued by him, let us, as to ourselves, lay our hand upon our mouth and be silent in awe over the wonder of our God and his goodness, that he fights on our behalf another passage of scripture found in Colossians, the second chapter. I mentioned to you I was going to read a bit. I hope you're taking notes because you should visit these. Verses 14 and 15 of Colossians 2 just reads in this way. He erased, this is justification, by the way. This is the biblical reality of the truth of who we are eternally as his own. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed us and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them in him. So if you don't fully get that, there was a record that says you have been weighed, you have been measured, and you have been found wanting. And in that, he paid in full, complete, whole, known. This is who you are. And he took that record of who we are and drove it into the cross, redeeming us, rescuing us into such a great salvation, and then is interceding as our advocate, fighting for our heart so that we will comprehend this on a day in and day out basis. How great is our God? He's fighting for our heart. But one of the things that I most appreciate and I love, there's traditions in college football. And so I have one on the screen right now. And so I just like to picture Jesus in this way. So this is Oklahoma, Ohio State a few weeks ago. I chose in my kindness not to use a similar story from recently. But there's nothing more sacred in collegiate football than your logo, your brand, your middle of the field gig. And so I like this about Jesus. Please bear with me for a moment, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to venture out. But I love this about Jesus because when Oklahoma, which is the team in the middle of the field, defeated Ohio State, they took their flag and they planted it. I think this is rude. It's not kind. But this is clear. They planted the Oklahoma flag in the middle of the Ohio State field. If you're an Ohio State fan, you're already offended remembering this. You're offended that I'm remembering this. You're wounded right now, and I am so sorry. But as I see this, I just kind of picture Jesus, because this is what he did. He stood in Oklahoma, standing in the middle of 100,000 Buckeye fans, and they're saying, we're planting the flag. Jesus is standing, according to Colossians 3, in the midst of the grand enemies who are battling for our soul, and he is saying in Colossians that he has staked the flag. The scripture says it this way, his banner over me is love. His banner over me is grace. His banner over me is mercy, and it is more. So in the middle of all of my enemies, he has looked at you and me and said, this one is my own. Woohoo! Man, I love that. That's the picture of Jesus that I really love. Like he's rolling into enemy territory and going, stake the life here. Fly the flag here. The banner over you is the love of God in Christ. Here's what Hebrews 7:25 says. He lives to make intercession for us. The intercession of Christ is his heart connecting your heart to the Father's heart. Yes and amen.
Thanks again for taking time to dive into Scripture with us as we search the heart of Jesus, see who he really is, and discover who he is calling us to become. If you don't have a copy of the book Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund, please connect with us online through mandarinbaptist.org. You could also find and follow us at facebook.com/mandarinbaptistchurch. We would be happy to help get a copy in your hands. We truly believe God is going to use this season of prayer, scripture reading, and discussions to reveal more of himself to us and certainly change lives in the process. We hope you will continue to join us, to pray with us, and to be amazed with us as we discover the heart of Christ towards sinners and sufferers just like me, you, and all of us. We love you, church, and we hope to see you soon.